live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 233. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. My, oh my, we have a big show, a wild show this evening to get to. A lot to talk about. It's been a wild week here in Indianapolis with the local team here, the Indianapolis Colts. We've got Colts, obviously. Colts talk that's going to take up quite a bit of time tonight. We've got college football. Tanner's going to join us around 7:50, 8 o'clock hour. We've got some quick hitters. But tonight is definitely football, football, football heavy. And I'm telling you now, it's going to be a big show. Joined as always by my main man, my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, man? What's going on, good. Crossroads audience? Dude, you said football, 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 and I do believe that it's correct, man, because Jim Irsay set the football world ablaze, did he not? And there's also some little juicy, big nuggets from this weekend from the college football world. But, man, there's going to be some little basketball talk that, look, I think it's going to be that the eats in here. I do, man. But, yeah, definitely football, football, football for sure, man. Because, like I said, Jim Irsay just kind of, you know what I'm saying, human torched the headlines, didn't he?
Yep. Let me, for those that have lived under a rock or so, I've got a lot of audio that has been pulled. I've pulled for this show a lot of stuff. Uh-oh. So with that being said, John, I got a nice little intro here. It's about a minute and 30 seconds long. So we'll do that intro here for everybody now. Here we go.
No one left to blame, no other scapegoats. The Colts fired head coach Frank Reich this morning. He'll be replaced on an interim basis by Jeff Saturday
to come in, run the team, be the eyes and ears for Jim Irsay, maybe to give him some inclination for what actually is going on inside those walls. They don't have anyone who's called plays on their staff. They don't have a coordinator. So they do have Jeff Saturday.
Shock would be an understatement. It was a 12-hour whirlwind. I don't know how to make sausage. I don't know what goes into sausage.
Oh,
but I do know how to build a football team. And the upper quartile of winners were in the top quartile of that upper quartile. That's rare here.
We're not throwing in the towel. Offensively is where we gotta make some hay. Y'all have been kicking the out of me for years for not drafting wideouts, and all of a sudden I'll look up and, you know, we're underperforming on the offensive line right now.
He's been executive the year before, and you guys can try to diminish him all you want, but that's just your words. They have no substance to it because there's no truth in it. I mean, the guy's a winner. You know how many shots Michael Jordan's missed? You know how many games Michael Jordan's lost?
Oh, I don't diminish this opportunity even the slightest, even if it is for eight games and everybody wants to run me out of town. Like, I believe that I'm called for a reason, and I would not have accepted it without that.
He's the best man for the job. You know, there's no question about it.
I'm drinking from a fire hydrant a little bit.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
Frank Reich got fired on Monday. And we knew it was coming. We thought it would be a simple thing. And they would pick somebody on the roster to take over. And no more than 2 hours later, John, my goodness, Jeff Saturday out of left field gets named. Head coach, it sends the sports world on fire. Fast forward, we got a press conference set for 6 p.m. It gets pushed back to 6:30. It gets pushed back to 7:30. It gets pushed back to 8. It's 8:20. They still haven't done it yet. And then the most asinine, the most cocky, the most messed up press conference that anybody could ever give was given by the Indianapolis Colts organization the other night. Jim Irsay, here was a couple of those comments real quick before we get some takes on there.
I'm glad he doesn't have an NFL experience. I'm glad he hasn't learned the fear that's in this league. That's because it's tough for all our coaches. They're afraid. They go to analytics, and it gets difficult. I mean, he doesn't have all that. He doesn't have that fear, and there was no other candidate. We were fortunate that he was available. And he has tons of experience. He knows this game inside and out, with relationships with coaches and players, and has been a consultant for us for several years.
Yeah, shock would be an understatement, right? Shock would be an understatement. So, we had the conversation, and it escalated quickly.
I say it happened very quickly, less than 24 hours. At first, he's talking to you during the game, and he says that, "I'm glad there's no experience. You have no NFL coaching experience." What? Now, wait a minute. You're glad? And that he's the only guy. Well, number one, that's a slap in the face to all your other coaches that are already on that team. And, I mean, you've got some good ones, Gus Bradley, John Fox, that have on that roster, as well as others. But double slap in the face there. John, before we dive deeper into it, I had to play some of those comments because it was so wild, and this may be still my favorite one of all. I've saved it as a clip.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000.
Yep.
All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
Of the quartile. Of the upper quartile. So, John...
It's Scott Steiner,
what's your thoughts, man? What's your thoughts on this? Everything blew up, and Colts were laughingstock.
Did your phone blow up? My phone blew up.
Yes.
Like it was Christmas. My phone blew up. And partially because, you know, Sam, this is what me and Brandon Reef do. We cover sports. We cover baseball, basketball, football, right? And everything in between. And you get these little minute tickers, like before the 5 minutes or 10 minutes before the world gets them, and then you like, man, yeah, right. They said what? No, so it wasn't a shocker that Frank Wright got fired. It wasn't a shocker. He felt his after comment presser. He might as well have just said, hey, man, you know, I resigned. I don't know why he didn't. I really don't. That was the frustrating part for me. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a dead man walking. They stripped him of everything. They told him to fire the offensive coordinator. You see what I'm saying? They told him you're not going to have Matt Ryan. They told him if he's supposed to be a social quarterback whisperer, let him whisper Sam Ehlinger into a win, and it didn't happen. And this is all Jim Irsay's conjuring, right? That's how I look at it. That's how I see the tail of the tape. Okay, so now Jim Irsay wants to do a Hollywood Saturday morning cartoon ending and pull a cult legend. That's what he is. I mean, you know, Jeff Saturday.
PR move. Everybody, this is definitely a PR move.
And pull Jeff Saturday huh? Listen, Brandon, most coaches that coach professional football, either collegially or professionally, are insane on a day-to-day basis about their football team. Like, and if the great ones are detailed. We know this. The great ones are detailed. They are passionate. It's an everyday thing. They go in at 6 o'clock. They leave the freaking facility at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is what they do. The coaches, the assistant coordinators. Jeff Saturday was talking to freaking Sage Steele. So how can anybody, you know what I'm saying, 25 hours, so how can anybody take this as serious? How can anybody take this as serious? So you feel good about it, of course, man. You know what? The coach got the ass kicked to it. You know what I'm saying? Everything didn't work. Whatever little plans, you know what I'm saying, that Frank Reich and Ballard and Jim Irsay kind of conjured up the last 4 or 5 years that we kind of know that they talked about, that we've been critical of, it all has come to a shitstorm. You know what I'm saying? Right now, you know you need a new quarterback. Okay? You need a young quarterback. You know you need probably another explosive tight end. And you know you definitely need some more depth at your offensive line because your offensive line right now is hurting. It's paid, so it looks overpaid because it's hurt, right? So Jim Irsay how can he not know this? And me and you know this, Brandon. How can he not know this? So to make things better, he brings in Jeff Saturday? Even if Jeff Saturday, okay. If he wins 3 games, they take him out on their shoulders, right? You still got the reality that you got an aged up football team, particularly on the offensive line, and you need a new quarterback. And you got goofy little trades here and there with Philadelphia and even Atlanta that you don't necessarily know where the heck your freaking next quarterback might come from. Is it going to be a first rounder? You see what I'm saying? And I think they do, but I'm saying they got other needs. They need a left tackle. It ain't necessarily solidified, right? So again, Brandon, I don't know what. Listen, malpractice. Be careful, Brandon. And I'm not telling you. Be careful. Jim Irsay was super hypercritical of the owner just 2-3 weeks ago. Be careful. Be careful, Jim Irsay, if you're listening. Be careful, because you might be 2-3 years from now on the other side of this criticism. Like what this sounds right now sounds like malpractice. Because like this, like, dude, you're playing with fan money. You're playing with the city's money. Like, what are you doing? I would be hypercritical of it, Brandon, even if you said Peyton Manning is going to be the coach. You know, and Lord knows, everybody knows I love me some Peyton Manning. He's the G-O-A-T to me. If Peyton Manning came out there and said he was going to be the coach, I'd be like, whoa, man, hold on, man. I get it, but, like, nah, man. Jeff Saturday, the same thing. So, like, this is a PR stunt, man. I hope don't nobody get hurt. And, like, reality, man, the coach is kind of cashed in. So, yeah, hopefully everybody knows they can, you know what I'm saying, they'll be shopping for a new quarterback.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
I'm terrible at calculus.
Well, I mean, he even got that staying wrong. So of the 32 teams, the upper quartile would be 16. Well, actually, Frank, if you look at it, ever since 2012,
right.
John, he's this guy. Jim Irsay is this guy that's living still off this 2004 thing. And I think Jake Query from 1070 The Fan said it perfect earlier this week. I listen to their show at work in the mornings every day, the whole thing. And he said it that Irsay talked about that they weren't bothered for statistics, that they're not concerned for statistics back when the Colts were 14-0 and they benched their starters, had a good shot to go 16-0, that they weren't worried about statistics. Statistics are not their thing. And then now Jim Irsay, he's just living off of the stats from 2000 and the years of 2000. John, that's over 12, 13, 14 years ago. This guy is trying to live and bring back the good. It's a PR move to the season ticket holders who are pissed to say, hey, let's bring back Jeff Saturday. It's a friendly face. Ha, ha, ha. Let's do this. This will everybody in the
– Exactly.
It's a feel-good for a day, and that's it. There's some Colts fans I've talked to that are pissed. There's some season ticket holders I've talked to who are pissed. I thought it was a joke. There's no accountability whatsoever in that press conference. Chris Ballard looked like a baby, had his arms folded up like a little baby. And I'm very shocked. I'm very shocked that Irsay said that Ballard will be back in 2023. Now you can take that for as you wish, because 2 weeks ago he also said Frank Wright was fine. So, but he says I expect him back. The Colts aren't throwing in the towel. Well, I don't know what the hell you call this then. He's
right.
The best man for the job. I don't even think. I laughed out loud watching that press conference when he said that. No offense to Jim or to Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday might be the greatest guy in the world, and he killed the press conference yesterday like he needed to. It was great yesterday.
Right.
He's got that toughness, that leadership, that intelligence. But who's calling plays? Because imagine if you're Marcus Brady. What?
We must remember Jeff Saturday's media training. I don't know why he's bothered with being a coach. He should be running for mayor. But maybe
so,
in the future. But, yeah, so you're telling me a little bit Marcus Brady.
Marcus Brady is the scapegoat, gets fired 2 weeks ago, and then very next following week, the guy that fires him just got fired. So how do you think Marcus Brady's dealing with that? And secondly, at first it was who's going to call the plays, because we have no clue. No clue who was going to call plays. There was another guy, the quarterback's coach, that turned it down. They turned down the job. He said no. He didn't want to go and do it for the stuff going on. So the Colts went out. Parks Frazier, who was the passing game coordinator, which we know how that passing game was. He is now the offensive coordinator. They just announced today for the rest of the season. And this offense already had troubles. And now you're going to take on Vegas, who's shitty in their own. And my God, look at their head coach who struggled, Josh McDaniels, who said no to the job, which got them into Frank Wright territory. Chris Ballard still hasn't hired a head coach yet in his tenure.
The head coach that he wanted, right. Right.
Correct. I feel bad for Frank. Frank saw on the wall. I saw Frank's comments that he had in an article yesterday. He will be an offensive coordinator, a head coach back in this league at some point. Hell, they're even saying he may be next year's offensive coordinator for the Steelers. So,
I heard that.
We'll see.
I'm upset, John. End up at college. For real.
Yeah, I am upset that the fact that, and this might get us no credentials the rest of our lives, but Jim Irsay is such a coward that he fired Frank Wright over the phone. What kind of man is that to fire somebody over the phone that you can't sit there and have a face-to-face conversation with a man? Because you know what? If from what it sounds like from all these sports reporters putting together, Stephen Holders and the Zach Kiefers and the Kevin Bowens of the world, and I guess Dokic's brother Doyle, that this was all planned out a couple weeks ago. And the fact that, quote, no Rooney rule was broken, but it sure as hell sound like Jeff Saturday is going to be the head coach going into next year. There was no African-American candidates that were even considered. It was him just kind of doing his thing.
Right. This smells like a Steve Nash, the new Brooklyn Nets move, and we all know how that story played out. You know, so again, I like Jeff Saturday. You know what I'm saying? The Rooney rule there, I mean, it did raise an eyebrow. They kind of like floated under it. Well, I'm just an interim here. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Jeff Saturday, he goes, man, come on. It's professional football, dude. Sam Ehlinger is technically the third best quarterback.
He's not the answer.
Could they win a couple games? Sure. You're not going to get a coach him up type of, like, I don't know what's wrong with the offensive line. They're either hurt or they're just, you know what I'm saying, they're fat. Or I don't know. I don't want to say fat. But you know
John, that game was horrible.
Or just disinterested, one or the other. So Jeff Saturday coming out there, I mean, you can see what he does. He lights up a room. So if they go out here to the Raiders and get their heads kicked in, I guarantee you Jeff Saturday will be like, well, we're going to work on it. He's going to give you an enlightening speech. And he's good for that. Hell, he does it every – dude, he didn't morph from – I'm shocked. He morphed from afterthought, that Penn Station guy. Remember, he's on everybody's Penn Station menu here when he played for the Colts, right? He's morphed that into working for ESPN. And he's on there every day, not just football time. He's on there every day. You know what I mean? So, man, this is just media, dude. It's okay. It's okay, Colts fans. Just take a big gulp of reality. And the Colts, In their hearts of hearts, in their dreams of dreams, they was thinking about 500 football with Frank Wright coaching them two games. This will cap this season off, and you know what I'm saying, they can go softly into the night, and you know what I'm saying, y'all can watch, you hopefully watch Bama or somebody or Ohio State in the Peach Bowl or whatever bowl, and you can see C.J. Stroud light them up or Bryce Young light them up, and maybe the Colts will have a chance to finally get a mobile quarterback, a real mobile quarterback. One of those two, the heavily debated, like who's going to be what when they get they're on the next level. But again, those two are some of the top two quarterbacks. They're going to be in the draft next year. So, but yeah, that's what they got to look forward to, man. That's what they got to look forward to. But like right now, it's going to be a lot of song and dance, Brandon, with the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it again real quick. I mean, it's.
I'm glad he doesn't have an NFL experience. I'm
wait,
glad
what?
He
you're
hasn't
glad.
The fear that's in this league. That's because it's tough for our coaches. They're afraid. They go to analytics, and it gets difficult. I mean, he doesn't have all that. He doesn't have that fear, and there was no other candidate. We were fortunate that he was available.
Well, of course he's available. Nobody else wanted him.
He knows this game inside and out. With relationships with coaches and players.
As an analyst should.
And has been a consultant for us for several years.
Yeah, shock would be an understatement, right? Shock would be an understatement.
That to me, him saying that, like, I feel like he got bamboozled or tricked into it by Irsay.
All right, Brandon, I'm going to put it out there. Because I don't know how to make sausage either, right? Why did he call Peyton? Did you call Peyton? That,
no.
That's why we can't get credentials, because if we get credentials to go to the coast on West 56th Street,
56.
I'm going to ask, why did you call Peyton? I'm going to ask, why didn't you call Peyton Manning? Because, you know what I'm saying, just Saturday, yeah, Peyton Manning, dude, you probably wear a coast jersey down there and to go see it. It'd still be a mess. It's a mess, Brandon. Come on, man. It's a mess. I can't believe the coach hired Jess Hattie to be the coach. It's a mess.
I texted you that Monday morning. I said, Frank Wright just got fired. And then literally it was 40 minutes later, I said, John, they just hired Jim Irsay. Or they just hired Jeff Saturday.
Did this Saturday. That's crazy. So I don't foresee anybody. So let's take it a step further, Brandon. So let's say Jeff Saturday flames out. He goes back to ESPN. We're on a national coach search again. Jim Harbaugh's not coming in here. I'm going to give you the names. Jim Harbaugh's not coming in here. You don't want Urban Meyer, and there you go. What else? Nick Saban, stop it.
Bruce Arians is not coming in.
Bruce Arians, they're not coming here to deal with this dude, man. Tony Dungy might.
Did you hear Dungy's comments?
Dungy was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Dungy's telling the truth. Like, there's hurt and then there's injured. That's an all professional sports. They kind of said it like that Matt Ryan was hurt, and then it went from being hurt to like not going to be playing for the rest of the season.
To now, it's changed again. Did you see today?
I did, but whose call was this? This originally was Jim Irsay's call. There's no way you can't
tell
me.
Oh no, it's all been Jim's.
Go ahead.
It's all been Jim's. Now Matt Ryan practiced today randomly out of nowhere. I mean.
Man.
You think it's Saturday saying, hey, Jim, want this to look great. We might need Matt to play.
No, man, do not put that sugar breaker out there.
Can you imagine if you're Matt Ryan? What's your thoughts if you're Matt Ryan?
Interception. Don't go out
there. If you're Matt Ryan, what's your thoughts?
Don't go out there. What did I step into?
Is this the biggest train wreck going on in the NFL right now? This organization? Somebody asked me that earlier this week.
How could you point fingers at Jerry Jones anything? What has Jerry Jones ever did thing in the last 2 years? I guess Jimmy, everybody's going to remember Jimmy. Everybody's going to remember that was 27 years ago. Over. What has Jerry Jones ever did to this level? Brandon, what has the guy that's getting ready to lead the Commanders? What he's done, if it's to believe, the allegations are to believe, but publicly, it's kind of the same shitstorm. That's why I said, be careful. Be careful. They'll take Jim Irsay's team. If it gets too kooky, they'll take Jim Irsay's team too.
I mean, you got the Steelers, you got the Texans, who are both having horrible times right now. And even the Steelers drama with the players recently of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. The Colts organization has stopped it.
They had a whole little situation with Deshaun, right? That's kooky with them. The Steelers never have ownership kookiness, I feel like. Not to this degree. They might have some coaches that don't particularly care for one another, which is that's kind of weird. You know what I mean? But never to this degree where there is like what it's not even like, dude. Is Darius Leonard and Jonathan Taylor activated yet? That's the telling thing right there. If they're not activated, the coach don't take this serious. If they're not activated, don't take this serious.
So going into this game, I believe it started out as the Raiders minus 2.5, and I think it's jumped up to 5.5 now. After
the
this
Raiders
news,
because the Raiders are terrible.
And they're a joke.
The Raiders are terrible.
John, can you remind me? I mean, I know what the answer is for this, but I want to ask you and for the audience. John, who do the Colts have next week after this Raiders debacle?
Is it
who comes to town? It may just be – you want me to say it or you got it?
No, man, go for it.
I mean, it's just there's a team you may know that's coming here next weekend to take on the Colts. That's a little undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. Look out.
Oh, man.
You don't think Sirianni going to come in here? Boat racing?
Right. After you just fired his homie?
Woo!
After you just fired his, after you just After you just fired his buddy. Man, listen.
And Jim Irsay saying in his press conference, well, I've never hired a losing coach. Well, no, but you've hired a loser of a GM. What's all the John? And we talked about this in the offseason. All those picks and all that salary cap that he had to spend, Ballard, and look where it's got him. Now he takes a cheap shot saying, well, now we're talking about wide receivers, and you're bitching to me about wide receivers, and now we got the offensive line. Well, you should know that. Are you a one-dimensional GM?
He is. I love it. When you one-dimensional when his hands are tied behind his back.
Yeah.
So, and that's my opinion. I love your impression. You've worked on it. I love it. So, but I think he's had his hands tied behind his back all this time. So, he would like to spend money, not on Julio Jones, though. We can't spend money on Julio Jones. That's just crazy. Or even Sammy Watkins. You can't spend money on, no. Those teams they signed with, I mean, those are risks that those teams are far off into a like a playoff run. Tampa Bay and Sammy signed with, but it's a playoff team. But those teams are into a potential playoff run than the Colts are. So I but he's got his hand tied. I think Jim Irsay told him, doesn't matter if Andrew Luck, just give me a quarterback. Doesn't matter, just give me a quarterback. And I don't think he let them draft one.
I don't know.
So
he was very high on Ballard. If he wasn't.
What? Who? Okay. You didn't. Remember, Brandon, we go back a year. You didn't have enough money to get Matthew Stafford. The Colts did not have enough capital unless you was going to give away Darius Leonard and Jonathan Taylor to get Matthew Stafford. They gave up a player. And a couple of drafts to get Matthew Stafford, the Rams did. So they didn't have enough money to get Matthew Stafford. They had to sell kind of for Carson Wentz, and it kind of just made sense because him and Frank Wright had a relationship when he was an OC. Frank Wright got more than those kind of relationships. He got relationships with people out in San Diego. He was offensive coordinator out in San Diego at one point. You know what I'm saying? People just kind of latch on to the fact that he was, you know, this then. And they had great success, you know. But man, it's
he deserves some of he deserves a lot of the blame as well.
Frank?
And yes, no, not Frank, not as much Frank as Chris. Frank can only go with the pieces that's given to him.
Right, I'm saying Chris is there to balance the checkbook. Right, so. Okay, y'all going to get mad at me because I was saying, man, but Jonathan, you've been saying they should play Quentin Nelson all this time. They should pay Quentin Nelson. But if you pay Quentin Nelson, then maybe you don't pay because they pay Nyheim Hines, too. He got paid, too. Maybe you don't pay Nyheim Hines. Maybe you pay a real wideout to come here, right? Instead of some hybrid thing you were trying to do. I don't know, man. But, again, I don't think Chris Ballard. He's gonna be. He said he's gonna be the general manager. I think he resigns.
I could see that. There's been talks, and they talked about it this morning that Irsay says, "Hey, it's better off you get another job if you resign instead of at the end of the season. Say, hey, we just couldn't make it work these last 8 games. He'll resign instead of getting fired. That way, he can still get another job easily." And maybe Saturday just wants that position. Irsay's probably got an open invitation for at the end of the season, whatever the hell Saturday wants, he can have.
Bring all the coach back.
And you think Jim is dumb enough? You think Jim is dumb enough to say, hey Jeff, he said about 1,000 times, Jeff, If I bring you in here to be our head coach, do you think you can work on – I mean, you're a big offensive lineman. Do you think you can come in here and help fix our offensive line? Already been there.
Consider our credentials canceled because we're not getting them, man. After that Jim Irsay impression, man, them credentials ain't coming through, bro.
This one's for Mr. Gilmore.
Mm-mm. We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means
in the upper quartile of winners. We're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
So that means that's rare air, and it means you're good, right? Wait, no. John, just a big, big clustered mess here in Indianapolis locally.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't ask for any other way. I wouldn't ask for any other way. Because
at least it ain't dull now. It's not dull now. You can say that.
Yeah.
You're a fraud. Just stop.
He had some, and I actually agreed with some of the things he said on Monday, which was shocking.
This dude, listen, Dan Dockers, I know you're listening.
He's the one.
He's having the greatest victory lap in any talk history. Because he's still banging this gong about Grigson and these picks and then my draft and my guy's draft. I'm like, dude, Grigson's like, stop comparing. Like, Grigson also is the one that drafted Cody Fleener. Dorsett. He has some stinkers, dude. Some guys that didn't pan out. You know what I mean? So, but like, no, man, he's taking a picture right now, man. God bless you, Dan Dockers.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
Oh, okay, Jim. Thank you for clarifying that for us. You're in rarefied air. You're also in rarefied air for hiring a head coach. First time since 1962, I think, when Norm Van Brock was hired as head coach. First time that a coach has been hired in the NFL that had no previous coaching experience in the NFL or college. You're bringing a guy from the high school ranks. Just who's next?
Hey, Brandon, are we gonna talk to Colts all night or what, man?
Oh, I mean, no, of course not. Of course not. We won't.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Oh, let's ride on to the next one, as Russell Wilson would say. John, Packers lose to the Lions. Aaron Rodgers just looks pissed at his team, at his wide receiver still. It's another thing where they had a shot and they just get destroyed, lit up, running the wrong routes. Are we ready to put a pin in it to say that the Packers are done?
Brandon, who's supposed to be – who's the MVP? Who's the reigning defending MVP?
Two-time MVP. Back to back.
Man, his leadership skills are coming into question.
Oh.
They are. I hope I ain't heard nobody's feelings that's listening to the show. I know we have some great fans, Green Bay Packer fans, man, that listen to the show, man. But his leadership skills are coming into question, man, because, like, you're supposed to rally. Now, you're not supposed to call out the troops in the media or talk down to them or whatever, man. I know this ain't Jordan Love that you're trying to, you know what I'm saying, that you got to watch over your shoulder for. This is the dudes that you're trying to get to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, you didn't choke how many years getting to the Super Bowl? You supposed to get to the Super Bowl. Choked.
That's one time.
How many teams that they were great? They were pretty good. Or double digits, like 10-win teams, 11-win, you know what I'm saying, 12? Like, dude, choked. You gonna blame, how many times you going to blame, how many years they going to keep on blaming Matt LaFleur? Or, no, I'm not sorry, Matt, or well, some of his decision-making when he was a rookie coach, right? Or Mike McCarthy. How many years are we removed from that? Aaron Rodgers, like, I'm a little disappointed. Like, they were in the red zone three times. I think they were in the red zone twice within the 10 and in the 20, and he threw three interceptions. And he's not Mr. Interception. He's not historically not Mr. Interception machine, but he was just interception. Like, dude, it gets the Detroit Lions. You basically took Detroit Lions out of, you know what I'm saying, somebody, you know what I'm saying, one of the top two draft picks contention. Crazy, man. Aaron Rodgers, they need to get his act together. They are stuck with him because he's due like $49 million to $50 million for the next two seasons.
It's let me ask you, would you rather right now have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback or
Broncos country, let's ride.
Russell Wilson? Because I would say almost I would rather have Russ than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers is a terrible GM too, man. He's a horrible general manager.
As much shit as we give to Russ, I mean, he's just a little quirky.
I don't know. Brandon, they being the Seattle Seahawks, when I saw Geno's name is going to be the starter, I was like, oh, this is rebuild mode. And they're going to be trying to shot, you know what I'm saying? They're going to be looking at probably either rebuild, adding pieces to their defense, or, you know what I'm saying, looking for another quarterback. Who was the starter? Right? Remember, they didn't know who was going to be the starter going into the season, because they traded the one kid from Denver, and they thought he was going to start, and then Pete was like, nah, Geno's going to start. Geno has started since he left the Jets, has he? I didn't think.
Yeah. Right.
So, dude, right now they're sitting, I think, what are they? What is Seahawks? 6-3? Something crazy?
Yeah.
Or 6-2, right? So, I don't know, man. They got to figure some things out for Russell. But, yeah, right now, Russell at least wants to. It's not pretty, though. They've won ugly. The games that they have won. But, no, I guess to answer your question, I guess Russell is the answer.
Yeah,
at least you can try to fix it at some point.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's ride. Let's move on. John, the New York football Jets, they couldn't beat the Patriots in a game where they needed it, but they go and knock off the first place Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen a little hurt. The way he runs and everything, you knew it was going to happen at some point, but Jets beat the Bills. Impressive win for the Jets.
That's all you can say. And even though I think Zach Wilson went out in that game a little late, they were able to weather the storm and win the game, man. So you can, if you're a Jets fan, you should be going ecstatic, because again, all the scouts and all the know-it-alls and all the prompts, you know, and people that's on the comment on TV had the Jets in the basement again. And here now they are potentially, you know what I'm saying, fighting for the NFC East. Excuse me, AFC East.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, I think John needs to give publicly on these airwaves, I think John now needs to finally give his apologies and apologize. That's an old wrestling term there. Apologize, as McMahon says, to the AFC East and the NFC East. For calling them the AFC and NFC least, because the AFC East has 6-2 Buffalo, 6-3 Jets, 6-3 Dolphins, 5-4 Patriots. And in the NFC East, the Eagles are 8-0, the Cowboys are 6-2, the Giants are 6-2, Commanders are 4-5. But both the NFC East and AFC East, they're not the least anymore, John. Maybe a little apology for both of these.
Man, when you was just reading all those divisions, man, I'm just thinking, maybe crazy Jim Irsay still thinks the AFC South can be won by the Colts.
They're not far off, John. I mean, they're only – John, the Titans are 5-3. Colts are 3-5-1.
Right.
That's 2.5 games out.
Right.
We got 8 games left. And they're throwing in the bag.
With Jeff Saturday.
Crazy. Minnesota Vikings, John, 7-1. I think they've got the team, not saying they're going to do it, John, but I think they've got a team where they could go and possibly represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. They have the players to do it. I kind of like this squad. I'm nervous about the quarterback play.
Right. Everybody's nervous on the quarterback play. And what I will say about this, Brandon, I don't trust Minnesota outside of Minnesota. And I know they've been some road warriors, right? They also kind of have somewhat of a favorable schedule as well. I mean, they play some chump teams in my estimation. But, no, man, you got to tip your hat. Like, when's the last time you said anything good about the Minnesota Vikings? Kirk Cousins out here, you know what I'm saying, going shirtless and gold chains. I mean, you know, going viral, man. It's great. It's great. It's great for that franchise. It's great for them to, you know, it's great for that, you know what I'm saying, the North Division. And it's right now, they've kind of, like I said, they've made put some distance between themselves. Green Bay, you can't just necessarily, you know what I'm saying, slot them in. So, but I just don't necessarily trust them when you talk about Minnesota having to maybe potentially go play a Dallas late in the season, potentially have to go play a Philadelphia late in the season. I just don't trust them in a volatile environment.
Yeah. Are the Philadelphia Eagles, are they contenders, or are they just a product of a very easy schedule to start the season?
Okay.
And let me remind you the teams that they've done to start this 8-0. At the Lions, home against the Vikings, that's a good quality win. At the Commanders, Jacksonville, Arizona, Cowboys, back when it was Cooper Rush, the Steelers, who are trash, the Texans, who are trash. So they've had a very easy schedule. In the NFL strength of schedule rankings, they have the number one easiest schedule in the league. So are the Eagles a true juggernaut 8-0 squad, or are they just a product of having the number one easiest schedule in the NFL?
Well, it sounds like they are most certainly a product of like, you know what I'm saying, of facing some bottom feeders. But even those bottom feeders on any given Sunday can, like the Colts did, beat a Kansas City team, right? So you have to take the bottom feeders. And then I have to kind of see, like, so, like, look at the scores of those games. That's what I would say. Was it dominating? You see what I'm saying? Did the defense just kind of pin those guys by the ears? As I think that's kind of what happened in the Washington game. So I look at it like that. Are they beating teams, like, close, like the Giants? Like, you know what I'm saying? The Giants are respectable, but they're beating teams real close. So, like, you know, their margin for error, it's not as good. I think the Eagles have – now, again, so, okay, to answer your question, Brandon, they haven't necessarily really been pressed just yet. They didn't face Dallas with Dak. Dallas with Dak is a little different animal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? With Dak Prescott, it's a little different animal. So I think they have the ability to withstand, like, you know what I'm saying, a tough game. We haven't seen them play a tough game yet, right? I don't necessarily think they have in the back of their mind that they're going to go undefeated 17-0 or anything like that. If they get to close to like 14-0, we'll probably, you know, say it'll probably start catching everybody's eyebrows, raise everybody's eyebrows, right? But like right now, man, you just play, you know what I'm saying? You just play your best football and don't necessarily worry about all the other little answers. I know that's a different kind of conversation. You don't necessarily worry about all the ancillary, you know, conversations like people say breaking down who you played and who you and how you beat. Brandon, look at our Jalen Hurts' stats. They're not necessarily blowing up. They're not necessarily mind blowing. He's got two interceptions. I think he's got like 12 touchdowns. Those are good numbers. But like, hell, I feel like most MVP level quarterbacks usually have that 12-2 by week three. You know what I'm saying? So like, nah, man. I think they're just real. They went through the growing pains. They grown as a team. They shook and all. They got all the guys that didn't want to be there anymore aren't there anymore. And this is the team that they've kind of grown, blossomed into. It's kind of like what all teams kind of have to transition to once they, you know, go through their championship run. Instead of trying to hang on to pieces of whatever, man, some teams just don't know what to let go. And this is the team that's kind of like I said, it's in their stride and bearing fruit. So, they'll once they find some face a team that's as potentially as strong as they are offensively, that'll be their kind of test right there. But like right now, man, yeah, I think they're definitely, to answer your question, yeah, they're product of what's been placed in front of them, man. But if you tell me right now, Philadelphia versus who else? Kansas City. Just kind of the first thing come out of your mouth, but like, well, where's the game gonna be at? Right. So, but if the game's gonna be at Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia can win. You know, but I think they've elevated themselves up to that level. That, you know what I'm saying? If you say XYZ, Philadelphia's gonna play, you know, the Rams, yeah, Philadelphia could, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, people are gonna start favoring Philadelphia in some of these games.
I'm impressed with the Chicago Bears. Yeah, they lost, but I mean, they were right there in that game battling against Miami, lost 35-32. Bears looking good, John. They've put up some points here in the last 3 or 4 weeks. They're starting to get it figured out with Justin Fields.
Brandon, what kind of Mickey Mouse calls do they have in Michigan and Mountain Pistons they have in the NFL? I know the worldwide leader, is, well, that's ESPN, but, you know, they got an affiliation with the NFL, but damn, man. That these calls, man, like, I really that was a bad call. It cost Chicago. I think it cost Chicago the game. What you see from Fields, you've seen enough that you know that he's the quarterback that you need, and you kind of need to build your team around that accordingly, right? So what does that look like for them in the offseason? You know what I'm saying? But Brandon, they can't necessarily just ready to pitch a tent. Their division is like the wild card. Could they get a wild card?
I don't know.
They're wild card option. Yeah, I know. It's a tall order for them because San Francisco ain't going to necessarily go away just yet. I think they got another pushback surge coming the second part of the season. And I know that's statistically there's some other teams in front of Chicago right now from one loss record as far as wild card is concerned. So, but like, no, man, everything like a bad loss or whatever because of poor officiating, but everything's pouring north with the Chicago Bears and everything. You got to like that.
All right. That being said, John, we're going to do hit our ad breaks. When we come back, we'll talk a little more. We'll go NBA before we get Tanner on in 15 minutes. So we're going to hit our ads now. We come back, talk a little NBA Association. We'll see you shortly.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiser Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
Also, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specialize in customized motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you online. Use the promo code Crossroads at checkout for an exclusive discount. So thank you, Wiseman Logistics, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, and as well as Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Without you three, we wouldn't be able to do it without you. All right, John, you want to hit the hardwood. NBA, I'll let you kind of take over the segment here. Where are you wanting to roll with this? And I will play wingman.
No, just from a locally, man. I know the saga of the Lakers is still an ongoing saga, but it's a losing team. So I know right now we're not necessarily going to focus on it. But I know for here locally, man, the Pacers have a little bright future. I know I've been hypercritical of them. And rightfully so, man, because, you know, tearing down, you know, saying the old regime and going burning through coaches, they look like the picture dysfunction their damn selves, right? Last couple of seasons. So, but like, no, you hit on a good trade, right? And you bring in the kid from Sacramento, right? And everybody loves him, you know what I'm saying? They call him they're not necessarily calling him the second coming Mark Jackson just yet, but, you know what I'm saying? Everybody likes. You know what I'm saying? They feel like the Pacers won that trade with Sacramento. How about that? You know what I'm saying? But Ben Maverick, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a slam dunk. You know what I'm saying? And no pun intended, man. If he's not in the top right now conversations, and I know it's early, so, like, rookie of the year is going to be it's a long thing. But like, right now, man, he looks like a rookie of the year.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's kind of, I think it's suiting him well coming off the bench when he was getting acquainted with the league. Some have already called him the second coming of Kobe Bryant, so we'll see if that's the case. I'm not ready to crown it yet, but overall, he's playing well. Let's see if the young man can stay healthy. He's hungry. I'm winning a lot of bets with his overs.
I
sports books
wish,
are just now starting to pick up.
Yeah, this from a Pacers standpoint, Brent, I wish Chris Duarte, the Pacers draft pick last year, I just wish he could stay healthy. He took a spill, as I recall. I think he's out for like 6 weeks. It's not necessarily official. I think the Pacers said 4 weeks, and I think the reporter said like 6. So I don't know necessarily, but I know he's out. I just know that, if the Pacers float around 500, that feels good. If you're a Pacers fan, and they're a very young team. You got Miles Turner playing like he wants a contract. So it's a lot of great intangibles that they have kind of going for them right now. Not necessarily being 5-6 is not necessarily, anything to write home about in the early part of the season. But, when you think about the seasons we had with Nate Bjorkman, or you think about, the tail end of last season and how it kind of got out of hand and all the losing and, people became disinterested, man. Like, I think now, right now, today, with all that put behind them, the Pacers fan base and then the Pacers organization, I know, they're very far away from winning the NBA championship, right? You don't have to have more than just that potential rookie of the year, but like I said, but having that backcourt and some of those wing pieces that they'd acquired, Nembhard, Isaiah Jackson, what's his name? Is his name Jackson Washington, the forward from Kentucky? If they got the just getting more playing time.
Isaiah Jackson,
Isaiah Jackson. Him. These are the next pieces of the. That I think that the Pacers are going to try to retain and build around. Those guys, right now they're just young, right? And again, man, if the Pacers, looking at it right now, Brandon, the best version of them, they could potentially put themselves in a play-in situation. But, I don't necessarily know if that's what the organization kind of wants to do right now. I think the organization would like to get a potential another bite at perhaps another guy like Ben Mather. And you only do that if you're, putting yourself in a lottery position.
And you're a believer in the Utah Jazz.
Hey, listen. How can you not? A bunch of cast-offs that at one point, I bet the plan was, who wouldn't want Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson as a backcourt to go with, if you're trying to make a playoff push, to make a championship push, Who wouldn't want, I'm trying to think who else is on that team currently, right, Markkanen. Markkanen's been playing. This is Markkanen's third team. And this is how, Kelly Olynyk, this is like his fifth team. So this is the team of cast-offs and misfit toys, because I know we're in holiday time, that nobody wanted. And like Danny Ainge, who's the general manager now, he was thinking, I'm setting myself up to get, because he traded away, his two all-stars for picks. And he'll get those picks back, right, from the teams that he traded them to. But that being Cleveland, that being Minnesota, but think about it. He also was thinking that they were going to be bad, so that he basically would control the draft for the next 4 years. Brandon, they're not bad. Championship level, coming out of the West, absolutely not. Karl Malone, they don't have a Karl Malone on their roster. They don't have a John Stockton on their roster. But they do have a lot of guys, veteran players who play, 6-7 years. And are interested in losing. Mike Conley's still on that team. So they, Can they win a playoff round? Probably not. Maybe not get swept would be where they're at right now. But, they are exciting to watch. They play hard. They play tough. All the things that are kind of, historically known about the Utah Jazz. So, yes, I kind of like the Jazz right now.
Let's I don't want to dance around it. I think it's a straight up. I think people are going to be anxious to know. And I'm always curious
about
your comments.
You want to talk about Kyrie Irving?
I want to talk about Kyrie Irving with anti-Semitics and the hate groups. What's your thoughts on the whole thing? Because they've ended their relationship. The NBA suspended him until he completes this laundry list of items.
I mean, here's what I'll say about it, Brad. Some people can say that what the Nets or the NBA wants them to do is excessive. I see the optics of that. I really do. Here's what I will say from the Nets standpoint. The New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets have a laundry list besides this. They have a laundry list of things from a human relationship standpoint that they've had to deal with Kyrie Irving over and over and over. And they paid him millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they gave him exceptions. And they gave, you know what I'm saying? Now, what happens is, because he's famous, because he's played alongside LeBron James, because he plays in the NBA, which is the NBA is probably the number two, you know what I mean, number two sports league in American, and you know, in the United States, he's on a stage, he's on a pedestal. He played for Duke. He's on a stage. He's on a pedestal. Kyrie Irving, he's his own island. He is. So when he says something. When he says something, it's going to get blown up 10,000 times, whether it's right or wrong, whether you believe it or don't believe it. The world's flat. You know how many times people have said that to me, Brandon, and I look at them like they're crazy? Okay, the world's flat. All right, but if you challenge, I'm telling you right now, because I'm a strong believer in it, and you should say whatever the fuck you want. Sorry, Brandon, I didn't mean to say F bomb.
You're fine. You don't be apologizing for your words.
Anybody should ever, whatever you should want to say. But if you say something that offends somebody's culture to the point, historical culture, like a Jewish person, and you quote something you quote something, this film, right, a book, whatever, and it has its dabbles in saying that the Holocaust wasn't real or that Hitler was right or whatever. Like, dude, you asking to be canceled.
Right.
You would get canceled, Brandon. You would get canceled if somebody said something ill or untrue about Martin Luther King. If you know what I'm saying, on the other shoe, if the shoe was on the other foot. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm for Kyrie Irving saying whatever he wants to say. But like what you're saying comes with consequences, right? We're like a year removed away from when Myles Leonard said something horrible over. He was just playing a game with another person on PlayStation 5 or something. They play an online game. He said something horrible. He said a Jewish term, horrendous. It got out. He's not an NBA basketball player anymore. Myles Leonard's white, by the way. If anybody thinks that the white man's coming down on Kyrie Irving, he's not. Or the Jewish man's coming down on Kyrie Irving, he's not. Okay? So I think me personally, Brandon, this is a shitstorm that unfortunately, it got tied to Kanye West's bull crap. Ain't got nothing to do with Kanye West. And just somehow they got tied together, like, dude, man. Kanye West is an entertainer. That's what he does. Kanye West will be back. He'll make up back with his wife. He'll make a new record, Jesus Speaks, #3, and everybody be clapping sugar for it. But like Kyrie Irving, you a basketball player, and you have a pedestal, you have a platform, you have a voice. I think that's pretty smart, Brandon, on certain things, but like, you saying something that people know about, in their heart, in their soul, the Holocaust. You saying in a roundabout way that shit ain't so. Like, dude, you asking for it, and you got it. So you know what, Brandon? If it was me, and it's not me, I'm not Kyrie Irving, and like everybody wants like all black people to like man up for him or something like that. And I am. I'm totally right. Say do what he want to do. Say I'm not for him taking the jab. I'm going down this list of things that people are accusing for. I don't care. I didn't never care about him not taking it. If he didn't want to take the shot, great. He didn't want to go to the bubble, great. Just go away. Like, he kept on talking, if anybody remembers. He kept on talking. He wanted to talk. I don't think we should be down there. Okay. You don't want to go. You don't want to take the medicine because you think it's too soon. Okay. You kept on talking, though. So it kept on becoming a problem. Listen, Brandon, I don't want to. I know we're talking about you open up the floor, so it's great, and it's cool with it. But Kyrie Irving would do himself a favor if he wants to continue to play professional basketball. And, you know, and I mean, if he wants, and if this like, is this the end of the road, I'm not saying that's not the end of the road for him, or this the end all be all for him, rather. But if he wants to continue to play professional basketball, like, just understand you play professional basketball for the general public. And even that, it's just like that old Ice-T thing, album said, freedom of speech. Just watch what you say, because everything comes with a consequence. They might clap for you, right, at one point, but if you say something vile and you know what I'm saying, or quote, everybody like, what about Jeff Bezos? He's selling it. What about Shaq? It's in his movie theater. All that shit, guess what, America, is safeguarded under Privacy Act. It's protected. I don't know why, but Kyrie Irving chose to lightning rod his social media, and guess what? The lightning struck him, and like now I'm supposed to think he's a martyr? He's not. So
let me ask you this.
This is Kyrie. Kyrie, if you're listening, or anybody who knows Kyrie, listen, just fall back, bro. Tell the Nets you don't want to do no apology, right? Tell the Nets you already said you were sorry. And just take the season off. And then if you want to come back next year, come back next year. But take the season off. Take a sabbatical. Stop becoming a distraction. That's what I would do. Go ahead, Brandon.
Are we about to lose? Is Twitter about to blow up just the fact that Elon Musk is just running rampant right now with this?
Is he getting as crazy he's getting as crazy as Jim Mercer?
I mean, the between the fake verified accounts, and I know we're getting away from sports, but that's fine. We got some time to kill real quick. But the fact that Eli Lilly had a fake account today that came out and said that insulin is now free, and then the real Eli Lilly account to come out and say, no, that was a fake bot. That's not our Twitter handle. And people were going crazy when they said that it was like.
Yeah, they probably getting ready to lose a whole lot of like real, like, you know what I'm saying? We use Twitter to share information and learn information, right? But if you're going to start having blue check mark, like blue check mark used to be like a real thing. That used to be like, that means you were certified, like it was legit information coming from you from a source, from like an entity, right? Important. Eli Lilly is important. That's important. Like somebody making a fake Andrew Wojnarowski account saying Kyrie Irving has been released. I got that too today, Brandon. Like, that's chuckle, right? When you saying like something to, like, dude, come on, man.
Hey, is it crazy? I never had Twitter Blue that they have, but for some reason it shows that I have it, and I have that blue verified thing. So I don't know what the hell. I never even signed up for it. So I don't know where that came from. I can't do anything. It doesn't let me change anything. So I don't know what's going on. So, but it's just, we're in wild times, man. Wild times. I ain't going to go diving deep into it, but the political picture is about to get crazy here in the next 2 years again, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot going on, man.
Right. Well, the good thing is we got Crossroads Sports, and we are a non-divisive show. You know what I'm saying? And there you go.
Yeah. All right. With that being said, we're going to flip over to college football now. We've got our guy coming in. Let me play a little intro for him here.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kid stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo.
Ladies and gentlemen, our college basketball guy, our college football guy, Tanner Penrod. What's going on, T?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How's it going? How's it going?
It's good, my man. Yourself?
Good, good. Just wrapped up a little dinner with a brother who's in town from Terre Haute. So, yeah, things are good.
Nice. Good to hear. Good to hear. I don't know what happened to Jonathan. Jonathan just lost service from us. Tanner, last week, it looked good for you at first for a little bit. and ended up with a 3-7 week. 3-7. Me and John both went. Me and John both went 4-6. You went 3-7. Now you're a 2-game lead over me and a 5-game lead over Jonathan. I'm 44-47-2. Jonathan's 39-52-2, and Tanner's 46-45-2, just over 500. Wild games last week, fellas. Wild games.
Yeah. There were some wild games.
Except for the game we were at, Purdue and Iowa, that was not a wild game.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because you sent your picks in, and me and Jonathan were driving up there, and I said, Tanner took Purdue. He went back to the well again.
No, and I'm done with it. I knew it. As soon as I said it, I told you you're probably going to lose.
You said that before, though. So how do we believe you?
No, it's because I didn't get on here. If I would have been on the podcast, you know that's the thing. It's the rule. I got to talk smack about them on here. And if I'm definitely taking Illinois today for sure against Purdue. I don't care if Illinois was laying 77 this week. I'd take it.
Oh, so before we get to our picks, people love it when we yak it up with you. We spent the first 40 minutes basically of our show talking the Colts fiasco with all that. What's your thoughts? I want to hear your perspective, your thoughts on the shit show that's happened with the Indianapolis Colts this week.
Oh, man, it's hard to feel. I totally think it. I mean, it's a – I mean, you hired Jeff Saturday, who his last coaching gig was a high school thing down in, I believe, Georgia, and he went 3-7. So if you think you can get some high schoolers to play on or even go 3-7, I don't know what he's going to do with these adults to get him to buy in. I think it's a total PR move. Good for the Colts needed to do something, though, so I don't think Frank's the answer. I mean, he actually had a great year. I mean, great years. Under him record-wise, I don't think he's just the problem. I think it's a locker room. If I was to guess, I think it's a locker room thing. But Frank has had about a new quarterback every year he's been back there. And to do that for him to have the record he has with a new guy under center every year, I give him a little bit of props for that. But, if Irsay, I think that Ballard, I'd get rid of Chris Ballard, too, at the end of the year. I mean, I don't think he wants to can them all midseason, but I think you got to clean house and start over.
What's your thoughts? The opening line, the look-ahead line was Raiders -2. It's now at Raiders -4.5. Do we look at sprinkling maybe Colts +4.5 in money line, maybe just as a shot in the dark that something happens?
I mean, I would. This is the game. It's just like that Chiefs game when they have no business being in there. This is that game you do. I think you sprinkle a little bit. I think the higher that it goes, the more I'd want to sprint, the more value you're going to get on the backside. So I wouldn't be afraid to sprinkle a little bit on there. I mean, it's really not a true road game. I mean, I feel bad for everybody that plays in that Allegiant Stadium, every fan base, visiting teams coming in there. The chance for them to go to Vegas, to get in there, you know the season ticket holders, for the most part, are probably just selling their tickets to highest bidder. So, I mean, it's
right.
They really have no home field advantage, I feel like, when they're playing there. I'll go a little bit on the Colts. Thinking okay. Jeff Saturday might get them together and ready to play. So, I definitely would. I'd give it a shot. I think if it keeps going higher, you got to think about taking the Colts. That's just me.
Right. It's been awfully silent with me and you, Tanner, what's with us in Indianapolis tomorrow night with you needing to acknowledge your tribal chief.
I was going to go with you to that, but I leave my flight tomorrow's at 5:50 in the morning for Cabo, or
ooh.
I would be there.
Woo.
Yeah, so
as long as you
Mexico in the morning, I would be there as long as you're going to acknowledge me when I'm down there in that sunny in 85. I know that.
Well, when I make my picks this week and go undefeated, I'm going to say, I need you to acknowledge me.
I love it.
Hey, by the way,
you both
are wrestling guys. I thought Logan Paul held his own and did very well in that championship match. I was impressed.
No, he looked good. I agree to that. I went back and watched that. I didn't get to watch it live, but I went back and watched that. No, he definitely held his own. Tough luck on the injury for him, but
yep.
Right.
I think he definitely held his own in that thing for over 20 minutes. I give him
John,
props for that, especially
what's your thoughts?
Second or third match.
My thoughts on the whole pay-per-view, I give a pay-per-view B+. It was a good pay-per-view.
Yeah, you thought. What was your thoughts on Paul Logan's match with the Tribal Chief?
Man, he's no David Arquette. How about that? So that's a positive.
that is a positive. By the way, I'm watching. No, go ahead.
I think with more matches he gets, the better he's going to get. I don't think he's peaked, but I think he's really done well for the limited time he's been in the squared circle.
Yeah. I've been watching. There's a complication video on YouTube. I've been watching. They call it the history of the WWE, but it's broken down by decades. And it's 3 hours long. Each decade's 3 hours long, and they go through the year in review, 1990. So it's videos and all that. They break it down basically. So if an alien would drop down on this earth, you would say, hey, what's WWF? What's WWE? You would drop them down, let them watch this, and they would have in 3 hours a good idea what the hell the entire decade of 90 to 1999 was. I'm actually impressed because there's a few stories that I haven't heard that I don't remember that are popping up. And I'm like, John, did you know back in 1991 there was WWF tag team? There was Intercontinental Tag Team Champions.
I had no clue on that.
I did not know that. Uh-uh.
Yeah, they were crowned right before the Royal Rumble. There were some Japanese guys because it was back when they were doing trade favors for Earthquake and Savage to go over to Japan and wrestle. Vince McMahon scrapped them in May. So, but yeah, there's a few stories I just didn't know about it. John, what did you think of that cheap shot I sent you earlier with Hogan? What he said?
With him owning Linda Honky Tonk Man owning Linda.
Yeah.
Name. I mean Linda Hogan's name. That's crazy.
Yeah, and then he didn't want to drop the belt.
He didn't want to drop the world, yeah.
Now, I didn't send you the video about – oh, by the way, who was it – and I know we're getting off on a tangent, but I'm fine with it because we wanted to have more time with Tanner on. Tanner,
okay.
I got to know your thoughts as well as John. That asinine article that I sent you, John, about that – whoever – well, I can't even think of the idiot who it was that thought he was better – the Road Dog. Road Dogg thought that he was better than Bret Hart. Get the hell out of here. Come on, man.
I know. I haven't read that, but yeah, come on. Not a chance.
Come on. Shut up, John. John's a mark right now is what he is.
No. Road Dogg might have a little bit better mic skills. But not a chance in-ring skills.
Jonathan is the biggest Bret Hart hater you're ever going to meet, and it's disgusting.
Man, I thought I'm about appalled. It. I had to think about it, man. It's close, man.
Stop it, John. You are the biggest hater I have ever – man, I got to buzz you. I mean,
the Armstrong family, the proud Armstrong, Brad, Bullet Bob, and the Road Dogg.
Stop it.
Man,
you don't even believe the old stuff coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, if you're talking about an Armstrong family over the Hart family, just die.
I mean, he might as well, what? Man. We might as well throw the Rotunda family in there, too, now.
They're pretty good,
bye. If you think the Armstrong family outdone the Hart family, you're... I can't even do wrestling.
I know.
Tanner,
it's crazy.
Hold on, Tanner. Brandon doesn't know. Tanner, you know Bully Bob was a good wrestler. Their dad was a good wrestler.
Are you talking
I'm joking, but Bret Hart, he's the best. He's one of the better. He's better than their whole freaking family. But Bully Bob was the truth.
Here's a fun fact. I don't know if Brandon knows this. I think I told him that. I've been, well, I don't know if it's still there. I've been to the Heart Dungeon in Calgary, Canada. Visited in the dungeon.
Yeah, you told
me. In the basement. Been there.
Hey, who were you in the wrestling ring with as well over here? Who was it? It was training McAfee back in the day as well.
What'd you say? Who was he in the wrestling ring with?
Yeah, there was a he trained McAfee. McAfee got in his ring.
Oh, yeah. Rip Rogers. Rip Rogers. I met him at a gas station. Talked to him. He was working as a client. He's a great guy on Twitter. You should follow Rip Rogers. He gives good stories. And
we need to get him on the show, John. Work on that.
Yeah.
Rip Rogers.
Yeah. Great
about
guy.
The guy with the white blonde hair and the brown beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's got great stories. He trains wrestlers. He's got great stuff you wouldn't think about, like behind the scenes. He's got that kind of information.
Get him on the show. We need it.
Yeah.
So put a feeler out.
Let's see what
Rip Rogers is awesome.
We got to get college football, though.
Yeah, let's get college football now. Hey, I like schmubbing it up.
Before we talk college football, go Tar Heels.
That's all good.
Let's go. College hoops is around the corner.
I'm sorry, they may not be in top 25 by the time March Madness comes around.
You might as well just put that banner in Chapel Thrill.
Hey, you know what we haven't heard of all season? Are you waving in the right flag on your Bulls already?
No.
Are you sure? Because the Pacers trash team might end up beating them.
No.
Okay.
We're not even full strength, son.
All right. Gentlemen, like I said, last week, me and John were 4-6. Tanner had his first losing week, I think, at 3-7, at least that bad. So we're going into the next week of games, and I'm pissed. I forget the sounder I was going to use for when we have a all collabed. I forget what I was going to use for it. So I guess.
We had one.
Was it It might have been the Woo. Okay.
Yeah, that was it. We did that when we picked Tennessee, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did. First game on the docket, the Purdue Boilermakers, because Ball State already played, so we can't do Ball State. Purdue Boilermakers at number 21, Illinois. John, I'll tell you again, I said last week Purdue had a shot if they could win that game. Illinois lost. Purdue still has a shot if they can win this game. Illinois, 6.5-point favorites at home against Purdue. I'm taking Illinois because I haven't seen shit that the Boilermakers can do that say they're going to be even coming close to be hanging with this team.
You already know my answer. I'm not going to talk about this one.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm already in.
I don't have the direct analytics behind it, Brandon, but I feel like they are pretty good they're pretty good coming with a win after a disappointing loss. This team is. I don't know if it's, so I kind of want to go there because Purdue has shown the ability to go on the road and win a big game. They won big games.
They only
went
on the road. Yeah. I'm
with you on this. So, man, I almost want to just like the wham bam and stamp it, man, Purdue. But what I saw there last week, it didn't look like it could go on the road and beat Norfolk State on the road. You see what I'm saying? It didn't look like it could beat anybody on the road, man. Anybody who thought Aiden McConnell was going to be an Heisman candidate. Like, no, man. It was a struggle. They couldn't get off third down of anything. Third and long, no. Third and short, no. They converted 2 4th downs. Great for them, but, like, by that time, the game was out of hand. You know? So, man, give me Purdue. I know. Give me Purdue.
Oh, my. All right.
Give me Purdue.
Next one, number 7, LSU. -3.5, LSU with a huge, huge, crazy win against Alabama last week.
Crazy.
at Arkansas. LSU number 7, -3.5 at Arkansas. John, we'll have you start us off on this one, then we'll go to Tanner.
Oh, LSU, easy.
Oh, all right. Tanner?
Yeah. They did look good. Arkansas has potential to be good. KJ Jefferson, I think the LSU's in a letdown spot here. 3.5, take the Razorbacks here. Catching points. They're going to be ready to play for this game. That's a big game for them coming. I like it.
Okay.
Give me Arkansas.
I'm taking Arkansas +3.5 at home as well. LSU had their big game last week. This team will have a letdown the following week. They put too much into last week for this one. So I feel like LSU will have a letdown in Arkansas. KJ Jefferson's going to have a bigger game. They have a little bit of hell to pay as well for last week. They lost to Liberty. Hugh Freeze came into Arkansas last week and waxed that butt. So Arkansas's got a little hell to pay. No way to get back into good graces as the head coach in Arkansas than to beat a number 7 LSU team at home. You're getting 3.5 with
all
the hook. Tanner said, I've got Arkansas as well. Big letdown spot for LSU. I just see it coming.
Yeah.
So,
they got a big game, I think, following.
Yeah. Number 20, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, another huge win over number 4, Clemson at the time, up in Notre Dame
big
last
time.
Week. Number 20, Notre Dame, -15.5 at Navy. Tanner, you're up.
Man, I'd like to take the under in this game. It's going to be Run City. Clock's going to be ticking. Clock's going to be ticking. Man. I'm going to go Notre Dame because if you get the defense that they played the last couple games, it doesn't matter. The field position will flip them enough. They'll be able to score enough points. I think 15.5. I think they can cover that. I think their defense is really good. They found a way to run the ball. The quarterback situation, dog shit. Obviously, if Notre Dame ever has to play from behind and you got to put in a quarterback's hand to come back to win, that's going to be an L. But they play really good once they get the lead. They run the ball well. They play defense. So I think if they come out early on, maybe get a turnover or something, force them in that option, and bounce on them early, they'll just continue to roll. So I like Notre Dame. Give me Notre Dame.
Okay. Tough game here. Notre Dame going to Navy to take them on. I know Navy's not the old Navy that we used to see. They've had, obviously, their transition of players. They're still that triple option, run the hell out of the football. That seems like Notre Dame sometimes has problems with that. The fact is, gentlemen, that tomorrow – what day is tomorrow? Does anybody know what tomorrow is?
Veterans Day.
It's damn Veterans Day, right? There's no other way to celebrate this team than to pick the Navy midshipmen, since it's the Veterans Day tomorrow – and take Navy to cover this game against that Fighting Irish. But here's the problem. Veterans Day is on a Friday. This game's on a Saturday. Give me the Irish -15 there.
Love it. Love the build up there, baby.
Yeah, right. Make it a clean sweep, man. I'm back to Notre Dame. Make it a clean sweep.
Oh.
Woo!
Woo! All right. Hey, you got to build up some theatrics every once in a while. Kind of like McAfee did last week for the Luke Bryan and Georgia.
Did you hear him that other day? He dropped a son of a bitch online.
He did. I loved it. if he doesn't take the place of Lee Corso when it's time, then they've got a problem.
I think that's why they got him in there right now. This got to be Lee's. This got to be Lee's last.
All
time.
Right.
He's not.
John, you will start us off. The Indiana Hoosiers, the Hoosiers from Bloomington, are heading to number 2, Ohio State. The spread, John, Ohio State -40. You are up, John. Hey. Leap away. You're teeing off.
-40?
minus 40.
I think man, I'm just gonna take Ohio State, dude.
I love it. I was gonna.
I'm gonna take Ohio State. It might get a little ugly.
You think?
I'm with Jonathan. I'm gonna say him. Ohio State played like ass last week up there at Northwestern. IU does cover well against Ohio State lately. I will. That's the only problem. For some reason, they play them well. But I think Ohio State got a little scare last week. Play well. The weather was awful up there. I'll give them part of that. But they're going to – they need a statement game where they just bury somebody. And IU didn't – IU got buried by Penn State, and I think Ohio State's two times better than Penn State. So I could see this game being 60 to – 14.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man, boys, you know how much I hate the Indiana Hoosiers fan base. I always like trolling them, right? I'm always a big, I hate IU, yada, yada, yada. People call me haters. I had IU basketball and football coming up my ass last year and the previous year a few times, and I'm fine with it. I'm game. So I look at this game and I say Ohio State minus 40, kind of what John was thinking. 40 points, my God!
Yeah. Right.
How could I? There's no way that I can go against somebody getting 40 freaking points in a ball game. I couldn't. There's no way. And the fact that it's the team that I despise of all, right? Like, I can't possibly take the Hoosiers at plus 40. You kidding me? Boys, 40 points is a lot. It's a damn lot of points. But this Hoosiers team sucks. Their coach sucks. The campus sucks. Their people suck.
Man.
Give me the Buckeyes minus the 40 in a rout in the first half.
I'm with you. I think it could be 35-0 at halftime.
Woo!
Not even kidding. I'm with you. They're going to get steamrolled.
Oh, yeah. There goes the credentials. Credentials just got wiped again, so. next one, number 9, Alabama, 11.5-point favorites on the road at number 11, Ole Miss, and the Lane Train himself. Tanner, you're up first. Bama at Ole Miss. Bama, 11.5-point favorites? Come on.
Yeah, I know you're taking the L train. I'm not. Bama's coming back. Took a bat. Saban took an L. What other better way to do it than take a beat down on an old assistant coach of his? He's just going to feel no mercy. And old L Train will probably keep it close. He's the king of getting a backdoor cover in here, which he might. L Train might get a backdoor in here, but I'm taking Bama. Roll tight.
Well, I mean, Lane Kiffin's about to be the next Auburn head coach. I've been telling you guys that for about 4 weeks now. So, with them firing their coach, we're right on schedule. That train is right on schedule. Like you said, Bama's going to come in pissed off. Two losses this year, basically out of the college football playoffs. Take it on Ole Miss. Ole Miss always plays Bama close, even the last couple of years. Lane Train at home. The fans are actually going to hopefully show up for this game. It's a little bit lackluster with Alabama not being the greatest. Look for Nick Saban and them to pay back. Obviously, John and Tanner, I think there'll be payback one from Bama. My only problem, guys, is this Alabama team is typically not out of playing for a national championship this early in the year. So I'm just curious how much the players' heads are in it, or are they looking to that next level already and getting themselves prepared for the NFL draft? So with that being said, I got to take Lane Train and my Ole Miss Rebels. Give me the train, baby. They're going to cover it.
It's not, Brandon and Tanner, it's not out of the realm of possible belief that if Alabama just takes care of business with the remaining part of the schedule, that they could somehow, right now where they're sitting at 10th, I do believe in whatever poll that matters, because it's like three different polls, but only one of them matters, right? I think they're sitting 10th. Could they use this game versus Lane Train to potentially move up if they went against Lane, against Ole Miss to move up? Yes, but then they're going to move up from 10. Beating the Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss is in the teens of the 20s. Being the Ole Miss team that's in the 20s, they're not going to necessarily jump up from 10 to, like, 6. They can jump up from 10 to 7, with style points, right? We do know that. But I think they could, I think they handle, like, so, like, Brandon, to answer your question, that Alabama, those athletes are a little bit different, I think, right? We hope. Well, they historically have been, to where, like, they'll still use, like, that coaching staff will still use, like, the games that they have in front of them. And the fact that they still, correct me if I'm wrong, they still have a chance to win the SEC, at least their division, West. Right? I thought, or at least tie.
Well, no, because LSU is number one in that division right now.
But LSU lost a game, I thought, but LSU lost to Tennessee, right?
Yep.
Yeah, LSU lost to Tennessee.
But Alabama's got two losses in the conference.
Right, I know. So they need help.
Bama's third in their conference. LSU and Ole Miss are both ahead of them.
So they not only need help in the SEC play, they also need help. We also know that they need help. I mean, they need TCU lose and the whole Big 12 and Pac 12 just become a mess, right? Because if those things happen, they're right back in it. But as far as the game is concerned, I think Alabama takes care of the business, and they use this to see kind of what happens if the Pac 12 goes berserk, if the Big 12 goes berserk, if somehow some way Georgia loses a game or two, which we know Georgia looks like they could beat. You know what I'm saying? The Colts, right? But so I don't foresee Georgia losing a game in SEC play just yet, but it could happen. So I think Alabama stays vigilant and they take care of business. They win this game and they kind of see how the season plays out.
Okay. Number 22, UCF at number 17, Tulane. 22 at 17. Tulane, 1.5-point favorites. I like UCF. I took them earlier this year in a game. I forget who they were playing, John, but I took UCF.
Win against Cincinnati? I thought it was.
Yes, Cincinnati. Give me UCF getting points again on the road at Tulane. I think they go down to the Bayou and knock them off.
Yeah, the point spread doesn't make me go crazy or anything like that. So UCF has, I mean, they're back to kind of like their David and Goliath giant killer status. You know what I'm saying? A program with a potential to knock anybody out, but also this program kind of plays up to its level of play as well. So playing Tulane, it's like looking themselves in the mirror, another mid major kind of school. I'm kind of shocked. Tulane is freaking 17th, but again, they're playing teams they've been winning, right, and putting up wins. So you kind of have to honor that. Best on best. UCF versus Tulane, I think UCF kind of comes out because they play the hardest here. They play some better teams than Tulane, so I would add UCF in this particular contest. So I'm taking UCF.
Okay. Tanner?
I'm just going to ride that wave in there. Give me Tulane. I just think these games where you these conference games, these little home fields, I like it. I think if Cincinnati would have played UCF in Cincinnati, Cincinnati would have won. So I think these tight little games, I think it'll be real close. I think it'll be within a field goal, kind of like that other game. I think it's going to be close. I just think that home field advantage is going to come into play. And with it being such a short spread, I like Tulane in this one.
Okay. Next one, number 25, Washington, at number 6, Oregon. The Ducks of Oregon, Jonathan's Fighting Ducks, are making their way back up in the Pac-12. Oregon, 13.5-point favorites at home against Washington. What say you, John?
Man, Washington got the ability to spoil, you know. So the Ducks can't take this game lightly at all, man. The Ducks have done the due diligence to get back into it. They took the shellacking game number one, but that was against the national champions. That was against Georgia. You know what I'm saying? But since then, they've been bounced back. They're in the Pac-12 mix, right? Winning the Pac-12 championship, right? So they have that kind of going for them. They the momentum going for them. So, and I think it's really like a three or team. I think it's like a three team race up in the Pac-12. I think it's with them, UCLA and USC, with a little bit of Utah to scare everybody. I think this week, particular weekend, they handle business though. So give me the Ducks.
Tanner?
You know, Washington's got Penix, I think, either leading the nation or was up there leading the nation in passing yards. He's absolutely having a dynamite year up there for the Huskies, the old IU guy. Ducks have played well. They've been covering spreads, but they've been taking care of business in the Pac-12. I mean, that game, I think that Pac-12 title game will probably feature them and the winner of that UCLA-USC game. So I think they know if they could win out, they got a chance to get in there. So I think they got to have foot on the gas at all times. And with that being said, I think it's just going to be too much. Fans are going to be going after it over there in the Duck territory, and I just think they're going to be too much for them to handle. I think they can cover the spread. Give me the Ducks.
Okay, I'm going to take Oregon as well. I think they cover this easily. I think it's going to be high scoring. Depending on, I want to see the weather. I want to see what the weather is going to be like out there for this game in the evening. But I like Oregon here to go this one. And actually, boys, I've got a new sounder for us. I love the Ric Flair. We can play that whenever. I think anytime we have a one that goes together, we're all with together. When we're all taking the same pick, you're riding, right? You're riding together. You're riding this as one that we're all going to have the same bet. So with this being a clean sweep, there's only one sounder we need to play now on for this.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's ride. We're riding as Russ Wilson would say. Broncos country, let's ride. We're all on Oregon, minus the 13.5. One of my favorite games I'm looking forward to Saturday night, number 4 TCU at number 18 Texas. Boys, if I had the sounder, the siren, the woo-woo, this game has got the weird spread. Texas, number 18 at home, minus 7 against number 4 TCU. So Vegas has Texas the favorite, minus 7 at home. I wish it was the other way around because I would still take Texas in this game. I'm taking Texas over TCU. I think this is where TCU has battled and fell and came through. I think this is where, with Clint Ewers, I'm taking Texas minus the 7. Ugly, but I'm taking it.
Because
Vegas is just telling you to take TCU here. It's telling you. Tanner, are you falling into that trap?
Well, I'm on a ride with the dogs, the underdogs, and yeah, I am going to roll with TCU for sure.
I love it.
I like Brock Ewers is going to be a real deal. That dude's probably got a Heisman underneath his belt in about 1 or 2 years. He's going to be Xavier Worthy out there on the outside. Great receiver, great running back there. Done a great job. I think that injury to them hurt him a lot earlier on. I think they would have beat Bama. He plays the whole game, doesn't get hurt. I think that kind of took a little tide out of their little sail out of them when they were going to that game in the team, and it knocked them back a couple pedestals, and they had a rough couple weeks. But I think this game's going to be close. I know TCU, they're going to have their hands full down there in Austin. Seven does sound scary. I just don't know. I could see them winning by I could see this game being a push. I could see probably winning by 7 exactly. I could see Texas winning by 7. But I'm going to roll with – I like Dugan as the quarterback back there for TCU. He's done really good. So if they ever have a chance to make a playoff, TCU, which you never would think about, they got to win this week. So it might be ugly. If they can scrap one out, they might win by a walk-off type type kick if they're going to win this game. That's the only way I see TCU winning this is them kicking a last-second shot or something in overtime.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the Horned Frogs.
John.
This is going to be a very high-scoring game, man. I'm always looking for, like, who else hasn't made it? Who else hasn't been invited to the big party, right? TCU is ranked fourth right now. They played everybody. They beat some quality teams. The Big 12 is not necessarily up this year. It's not necessarily down, but it's very competitive. Hell, we got a Kansas team that was ranked this year, for crying out loud. Kansas State was ranked at one point, for crying out loud. So the Big 12 this year has been very competitive. Baylor was in the top 10 at one point. You know what I'm saying? TCU has played, you know what I'm saying, relatively everybody except for Texas, and they've beaten everybody pretty convincingly. It's been some close games, man, like really too close. You fight for comfort, right? With that being said, man, and even Texas is kind of like a mirror image, is kind of sort of like, take out the injuries, some of their games have been super close. Their game with Alabama, to the wire, right? So they have the ability to put up numbers on both sides of the ball. Both of these teams do, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be real close, man. Margin of error, man. I kind of trust the Texas coaching staff more than I trust TCU's coaching staff. I watched TCU the last 2 weeks, man, basically do some analytical bull crap. I'm like, dude, why aren't you taking, like, man, not taking points when you should take the points and going for it on fourth down. And, you know what I'm saying, they've stuck you. You know what I'm saying, you jammed it with your running back, and they've stomped you. Just take three. You got a whole other quarter. You see what I'm saying? So I kind of trust the coaching staff of Texas, right? But here's the thing. Tanner brought up a great point, man. I trust the quarterback play and some of the other players you name as well for TCU. I think that quarterback we see for TCU, we're going to see him playing on Sunday, throwing big bombs on Sunday for somebody.
Colts?
Right? He's going to – man, you know what? There's nobody – you know what? You know what, Brandon and Tanner? Nobody's thinking about him. Everybody's thinking about – and I mean, you know, you're going to have to take a hard look at him, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and even the quarterback out of Utah. You're going to have to take a hard look at him. I know Bryce Young is not wowing from a link standpoint. I know we're supposed to be talking about who's going to win the game, but I'm saying you're going to have to take a hard look at all these guys. But Max Duggan, that dude got it. You see what I'm saying? So he's got it for the Colts, or he's got it for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know. He's got it for the Carolina Panthers. We shall see what we shall see. But I think they've got the better players at TCU, and that's what I'm going to riff ram, bazoo, lickety lickety.
Okay.
Woo, wow, woo. Give them hell, TCU. I'm going with TCU this weekend, man.
Boys, I was
keep that story going.
I was completely wrong last week in our picks on the show, John, where I thought it was put up or shut up time for the Miami Hurricanes against Florida State, and they got dog walked. My God,
right.
At home, dog walked at home by.
Right.
I said if Norwell loses that game, Tanner, I said he might have to be fighting for his job if he loses that game to Miami. Kind of how his seasons went, but they got the big win. Florida State back to number 23 in the country, -7 at Syracuse. Tough one in the ACC. Florida State -7 at Syracuse. What says you, John?
Give me Florida State, man.
Okay.
Give me Florida State.
Tanner?
I'm going to take the Orange. I think so. They need to get back. They got smoked by Notre Dame at home. I think they got to get their foot back. They might have just gave up, though. I mean, this is going to be a do or die, whether Syracuse was for real this year to be a top 25 team or not. So, I mean, if they get smoked again, they just started out well. And they might have had the win knocked out of them, too, in that Clemson game, too. So, we'll see if that knocked them right on their ass. And that might be it, because if Florida State goes in there, I think they've peaked and they're probably done. So I'm hoping they're not. That's what I'm gonna go on saying. They're not gut punched on their deathbed. So I think they can cover a 7. I think give me 7 in the carrier dome.
I've got Syracuse minus or plus the 7 as well. I think they can cover the 7. They might not win, but I think they can cover that 7 points there very easily. I'll take Syracuse in that one. So that is our games. They will be posted up on Facebook and on Twitter here tomorrow. Boys, I do want to get real quick. We don't have either one of these teams on our week this week because the game wasn't really compelling. But I want to know thoughts from both of you because this is college football. Georgia, Tennessee, and kind of what we're looking at now. I mean, to me, Georgia is now what we've always thought when they knocked out Oregon early. They're the clear-cut number one team in the country. They look the greatest out of everybody. I think they've got the right path. Tennessee got knocked out. I thought they get knocked down, but they would make a little bit. John, I told you if they're settling for field goals, it was going to be over. And very early, they started settling for field goals. So what's your guys' thoughts on that kind of the matchup and where you see both teams going as we progress?
Well, given who's in front of them, they shouldn't lose a game. Unfortunately, how the Game of Thrones is played with these polls, they won't be able to jump up over anybody unless somebody miserably loses in front of them, like Michigan loses or something like that. But they're still a very good story. Hopefully, that coaching staff and that team just kind of, you know what I'm saying, just kind of sees just play tennis, just play how you've been playing, and just kind of see how everything kind of shakes out at the end of the year. They're out of contention for the SEC title, but if they play, if they continue to win, can they get back and then kind of stay where they're at right now? Can they make, you know what I'm saying, can they get back into the national championship game potentially if somebody loses? Yeah. So that's how I kind of see Tennessee. Just keep winning, and you know what I'm saying, and hopefully everything kind of pan out for you.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's schedule favors them. I just was looking at it. I mean, they got Missouri, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. I feel bad for Missouri coming in here. They're probably, I think it's a 20-point favorite for Tennessee. I think they're just going to come out there and they got to refocus, and I feel like they could probably just blow them right out of the Neyland Stadium over there in Volunteer territory. So I feel bad for Missouri having to come in like that, because that could have been a big letdown spot for Tennessee this week. If they would have won, it would have been a great spot to take Missouri. Probably cover because they probably would have, yeah. But since they lost, I think it's a great spot to probably take Tennessee. But still, I think it's under 21. If you can get it under 3 touchdowns, I think they're just going to pound them, even though Missouri's played pretty good. But like you said, Tennessee can win out and then get in there. I mean, what they're going to need is Tennessee's going to need to win out. Georgia's going to need to win the Southeastern Conference title game, and then they might be able to sneak back in there. But they're going to need some help. They're going to need TCU to probably – they're going to need TCU to take an L. Because, there's only Michigan State or Ohio State. One of those is the only one getting in there from the Big Ten. They're both not getting in there. So they're going to need a little help, but I think they can get in there. If they win out, they have a schedule that's favorable for them to take care of business. As long as Georgia doesn't hiccup anywhere or lose in the SEC title game, I think Tennessee can get back in there.
Are we all in agreement right now that the Heisman is C.J. Stroud's to lose?
C.J. Stroud. It might be Mac Duggins, dude.
Right now, the sports books have C.J. Stroud the favorite at +140. Dugan, he has great value, John. He is 10th right now at +4,000. 400-1 odds for Max Duggan. Right now, it's Stroud, Hooker, Blake Corum, and Caleb Williams, and then Stetson Bennett and Bo Nix.
Even though he's had some games under him lately, I don't think he can win. I mean, Duggan, that is some good value for him. If they win out, that'd be tough.
400-1, Tanner. Hard not to put a little bit of scratch on that.
Especially if, like,
On Max Duggan. Are you talking about
Max?
No, Max Duggan. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if Michigan somehow goes in there and beats Ohio State. And Trout has a terrible game. But that's asking for a lot.
I got a free $25 bet. If I put that down right now on Max Duggan, payout's $1,000.
Yeah, that ain't a bad clip. I mean,
I know it isn't.
This is when you need to think about it. What's Max Duggan has a game this week against Texas? He's gonna go up.
Yeah,
he has a game against Texas.
Odds will get worse. Yeah, for sure. So let's look real quick at their schedule. We got some time. We'll talk about it real quick. Their last three games, excluding the Big 12 championship, is at Texas, at Baylor, home against Iowa State.
I mean, they're at Baylor next week?
Yes.
They got two hard games. Baylor's tough at home.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean
they finished undefeated, man. He'll have his say on, and the team will have his say on seeding. Will they be a number 2 seed or a 4 seed? I think a 2 seed or 4 seed. Or they won't be a 1 seed.
Right.
And if he'll be in contention, if he goes on a gauntlet and goes, like, he'll have the statistics to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
If he wins,
I'm not sure. My gut feeling, man, I know we're far off from there. I think Michigan is going to beat Ohio State again.
What? Oh my God!
I think Michigan's going to beat Ohio State again.
Hot take.
I think this is going to be Ohio State.
Oh,
that's a hot take.
I might have to play this down instead. Let me play this one.
Guys are idiots. And three foolish men, I put you right in that category.
Anyway, if CJ Stroud loses to Michigan, Duggan will have the better statistics to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
True.
What about Hendon Hooker? He's got an easy schedule.
Hooker, hold on, Brandon. Hendon Hooker, they were settling for threes. He couldn't get into the red zone. He's getting ready to feast on Vanderbilt. He's going to feast on Vanderbilt. I don't necessarily think he's going to feast on Missouri, though.
Are you not believing Blake Corum?
Missouri would keep them honest.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. So if C.J. Stroud loses to Michigan,
yes.
If Blake Corum has, what, 100 yards rushing against Ohio State in that game?
Nah, this ain't – hey, man.
He's got the third best odds for Heisman.
He don't have enough touchdowns.
They say he's third. Vegas has him third best. He's right behind Hooker.
That's all I'm saying. For a running back, I don't think he has enough. He might got enough yards. I looked at his touchdowns the other day.
He's got 9 touchdowns.
I'm sorry.
I did that wrong. He's got 16 touchdowns.
Man, that's a
one
lot.
Receiver.
I mean, no, it's not. I mean, that's a fair amount for a running back in this particular season, but, man, they've gone crazy and given to quarterbacks. You see what I'm saying? I can't see it. Well,
he is fifth in rushing yards.
I forgot about the game they just had. He went crazy in that game. I don't know, Brandon. I can't see him giving to a running back.
John, he's fifth in rushing yards, and he's tied for first for rushing touchdowns for the season. He's got 1,100 yards rushing, almost 1,200 yards rushing.
Well, hell,
6 yards a clip.
He would be a big part of them beating Ohio State. So yeah, if Michigan beats Ohio State,
he's plus 750 right now. So he's 75-1. Not bad.
Well, I'm on record. Michigan is going to beat Ohio State.
Okay, I will clip that audio so I can pull it off a couple weeks. Tanner, as always, thanks for joining us, my man. We'll get your bets. Obviously, have a safe trip to Cabo. Don't drink the water, I hear, down in Mexico.
Uh-oh.
And when are you back?
I'll be back. I'll actually be back by Wednesday night. If you guys have a show Wednesday night, I can be on it.
Okay, perfect.
Hoosiers, I just checked my phone, are struggling with Bethune-Cook.
What's the score? This is the Big Ten champs, right?
Yeah, they're preseason Big Ten champs. Hold on, let me just see.
This is the Big Ten champion. Oh, boy. Well, they started out rough their first game, too. I mean, they're playing the schools for the blind, so, I mean.
Oh,
well, they did. Hold on. I will say this. I'm trying to get your credentials back, you big idiot.
I know.
Hey, actually, they're non-conference. I will say this. Their non-conference schedule does. It gets a little hard.
They do. Carolina, Zona, and Kansas. I'll give them that.
I mean, that's. You don't want to pull up Purdue's non-conference race.
Hey, real quick, shout out Michael Lewis and Ball State winning by 70 in their first game. Love it.
Love it.
Hey, I don't know what you. I don't know what you're doing, but I'll hit you up. A buddy of mine. We had him on speaker. Talk to Dane Fife today. I think we're going to try to hit up a Coach Lou game. I'll tell you the day we're going up there. We're thinking December 21st. Shit,
perfect.
That's a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday.
That's all right.
Might
we'll move
to
the show around. We'll go up there. Hell, we'll have the show up there. I don't care.
Yeah. I'll let you know the day. I think we're all going up there. He can come with us, too. We talked to him today. He's trying to go up there and catch a game, too. So I'll keep you posted.
Perfect. Sounds good. All right, Tanner. Have a safe one, buddy.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, John. As always, great. We had a good time there with Tanner, as always. John, I'll let you wrap us. We got 2 minutes left. You got anything left? And
yeah.
Then wrap it.
Yeah, I know, man. Usually, you know, say we have a little bit more time to pigeonhole, some of the little ancillary sports are in, man. College basketball starting, that's men's and women's.
Love it.
Get hyped for love it. Get hyped for that. The fall season, we're still in the middle of. We got some more surprises right around the corner, y'all. Shout out, hey Brandon! Shout out to Bellarmine. They won.
Yeah.
They beat Louisville last.
Louisville looked like trash last night. So bad. They looked so bad. They're gonna have I put on Twitter. Louisville Nation came for me. I said they're not gonna have more than 10-11 wins this year.
Oh wow! Well, shout out to Bellarmine. That's a school that's kind of on our radar, and we'll fill in everybody as to why a little bit later on in future episodes. But, like, no, man, it's a great time to be a sports enthusiast, man, whether you like college basketball, football. Hey, Brandon, we need to salute to the champs, the Houston Astros. Shame on us, man. Dusty Baker. Finally winning one as the manager, man. But, like, no, man, great. I think we had a great show, man. Thanks, Tanner, for calling in. The friends of the program, they'll be back next week. If anybody was missing Reg or Decott, I wasn't. If you do miss them, you can always hit us up on Twitter at Three Foolish Men or Crossroads Sports Twitter, or even Brandon Reeves Twitter. So outside of that, man, thanks to our sponsors, Wiseman Logistics. Thanks to our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Thanks to our sponsor, Scott K. Nicholas State Farm Insurance. Man, how can we do it without, man? Thanks. One more. Thanks to Purdue for having us, man. Just come when we come back next time. Whether it's next year for football or this year for basketball, man, you know, just come with a dub, man. Come, man. Just know that Crossroads Sports is in the building. We expect y'all to win, man. Come on, man. Y'all let Iowa beat you. Come on, man. Outside of that, man, Brandon Reeves, man, Crossroads Sports, man, it's been a pleasure, man. It's always a pleasure. I get geeked, Brandon. I really do, man, when we chopping up with the folks, man. But outside of that, man, everybody, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content. We'll be right back.